Good afternoon, good morning, good evening to everyone out there listening to this podcast. This is Alok, your host, your career coach. I'm speaking from Hong Kong. It's a great day, and today I want to cover a question which a lot of people come to me time and again. This question is about how long should I stay in the job, Alok? Now, I would say in terms of staying in a job, there are two kind of people I find all the time. And this is coming from my experience as head of HR, as an experience of a business head. Over time, we have something we call employee disengagement. Now, employee disengagement is a very popular term in the world today. And every multinational, every company, even the companies I worked with, American Express, HSBC, all of them use this term, and we kind of do a lot to re-engage the employees. But what does it mean to you? When should be the ideal time for you to quit a job? Now, this is something which is a very common question, but I feel nobody has the right answer. But let's try and tackle this question today. But let's, in order to tackle that question, let's understand what are the two kind of people out there. Now, the first kind of people I see are the people who quit in just few months. You know, if you look at a lot of young graduates, they do a job and it just picked up their LinkedIn profile or their CV, you'll see 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. You know, they just can't stay in a job. And I have this person who kind of worked with me and is still working with me. He kind of moved from one job to another in just a matter of few months. The point is that really enough? When should you kind of quit a job? Have you learned anything? And these kind of people in HR, we call them job hoppers. And that's really a problem on the CV, with one exception: if you are into project management, if you're an IT developer, if you're a consultant and you're moving from one project to another. So that is one exception, but for 98% of the people out there, this is just not really acceptable. You know, job hoppers don't give any contribution to the company in the long term. Job hoppers are really not helpful for the company to have. And most importantly, I as an employee don't get any return on investment. So I don't really want job hoppers in my company. I want somebody who's stable, somebody who's going to stay there for a consistent amount of time. And that's a person who can really contribute to the company. Because, hey, you got to accept this fact that in the first few months, potentially in the first year or two, I am investing in that employee. I am investing in his development. He's not really contributing much. So if he leaves in less than a year, then clearly I have lost money on that person. So job hopping is really not fun, with an exception of consulting or project management. So that's one bunch of people. Now, the second bunch of people were working in the same job for 20 years. And it's not difficult to find these kind of people in Korea. I come across these people in Hong Kong, in Japan, and they call it job loyalty or company loyalty. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you should not be loyal to a company. But what I'm saying is that to be in the same job for 10 years or 20 years, doing the same process, the same mundane thing, where's your motivation gonna be? See, we're not robots, we're not machines, and we can't really stick in the same job forever. Now, we need variety. Now, here's a question for you to reflect. Would you like to go to the same holiday every year? Would you like to go to the same restaurant every week? Would you like to wear the same clothes every day? Now, yes, there's a fraction people who do. There's like a small percentile. Maybe Steve Jobs, an exception, likes to wear the same clothes every day. But 99% safely don't fall in that category. And when I speak for the majority of you. So that's the second bunch of people, you know, sticking in the same job. You can still be in the same company for 20 years. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, doing the same job, let's say you join as a financial accountant and you are a financial accountant for 20 years, you don't become a financial manager, you don't become that accounting leader, you don't become a region head, and you don't even change a different function. maybe there's something not right going on over there. So that's the second bunch of people. Now that we understand these two bunch of people, which are job hoppers and potentially stagnated employees, you know, not a fancy term, but that's a term for understanding and learning. Let's call them stagnated employees. The motivation levels for both these employees are going to be very low because they can't contribute to the company to the fullest. They are not alive in both the cases. One person, the job hopper, is nervous and the stagnated employee is disengaged. So now, what is a magic number to change a job? Now, obviously, you know, the magic number is very difficult to arrive because it means different thing for different people. It means different thing for different job. But if you want a number, I will put it to 3. And here's why. Over my years of experience, which is 25 years of working in large multinationals, I have come across this 23 years is something which kind of turns up again and again. And let's break it down. The first year, normally, a person would take to learn the job. And that is when he's actually learning the tricks of the game. He's learning how to do the job better. He's observing his. So I always say in the first year, it's a kind of a double whammy. You got to learn the job. At the same time, you got to contribute because the company is not going to pay you for nothing. And let's say you're on a sales job, and if you don't contribute from month 2 or 3, you're going to be shown the door, and you don't want that. So definitely the first year is toughest because you're learning and you're contributing. Now you beautifully move to your second year, and the second year is a time for you to contribute to the company and actually help them make money on their investment, which is you. Now in the second year, a lot of people still, you know, get a little disillusioned. They want to change the job. That's not the time, my friends. In the second year, you got to really contribute because that is also personally a time for you to become an expert. Yes. It is only in the second year when you have learned the skills, you can improvise. So what is improvisation? It's like playing a guitar. First, you got to learn the basic chords. That only you can make your own music. I know what you're thinking. I want to make my music in the first year. Well, too early. You first observe how a company is run. Every company is unique. Apple is unique. Google is unique. You can't replicate them. So if you come from Google, you still need to learn the Apple way. If you come from Apple, you need to learn the Google way. And that is reality. So in the first year, you learn. In the second year, you contribute. And here's a measurement you got to really use. If you're not doing the job which you did in first year in half the time, you haven't grown. You haven't grown, you haven't learned. So here's an example. If it takes you 10 hours to complete your job in the first year, in the second year, you got to take 5 hours. And the remaining 5 hours, what do you do with it? That is something you have to use so that you can help the organization in strategic ways. You can learn new things in to take you to the next level. Because without learning, without developing your skill set, you're not going to get the next level of the job. So that is what you do in the second year. Now, you beautifully enter the third year. This is time to plan. This is the time to plan your next move. This is the time to plan what is important to you. In the first 2 years, you have realized that do you want to do the next level of job in what you're already doing? Let's say you're doing a sales job. Do you want to stay in sales? Or maybe in 2 years, you define that sales is not for you. Maybe you want to get into operations, or maybe you want to get into marketing. That is the time when you're going to define what is going to be your next move. And this is something takes time, effort, perseverance. There's no magic bullet. Yes, some people do get lucky and they actually try to get a job which is kind of easy to do, and some boss joins somewhere, takes them on. But that is one percentile. 99% people have to make their career. And that one percentage people, I would say, they just get lucky or they live their life by accident. If you want to design your career, you want to design your movement, you want to design your elevation, you have to plan it really well. So the third year is the time for planning. So in a nutshell, in a summary, this is what you do the first 3 years. The first year you learn, the second year you contribute, and third year you plan. And that is the magic number. Now, the number doesn't need to be literal. It is figurative. So for some people, that 1 year may be a few months, but you need to give a fair amount of time to each stage of your job. And that is when the time comes to move. Now, there's a disclaimer I want to put here. A lot of people think when I talk about movement to move externally. No, I'm not talking about moving externally. It's not always about getting a job in another company. So for example, if you're working for Procter & Gamble and you want a job in Unilever, that is not always career elevation. Even in Procter & Gamble, you can get different kind of elevation. And there are four options for you to move. Four options. Number one, yes, which is the obvious one, you can move from Procter & Gamble to Unilever. And I call that external movement. You can move externally, but do remember, you got to prove your credibility again in that first move when you go externally. Here, potentially your credibility is maintained and you can grow faster. The second option is to get an elevation, a movement internally. Now, that is also great because you already have a certain amount of credibility, you got a network, you got a connection, and moving internally is really, really good. But yes, if you're having a perception issue, and another episode, we're going to talk about perceptions as well. If you're having a perception issue, maybe it's time to move out. But I wouldn't recommend that. If you do have an option of moving internally, do that. I stayed in one company for 11 years, HSBC, and I did not one, not two, but five roles. So you can think about 11 years. My average was about 2 years plus. So I did not move a role for less than 2 years. And that is something which really kept me motivated and going. So that is the option two. Option three, you can look for a short-term assignment in another country, in another department, and that is really good as well. So for example, I moved from India to Hong Kong to do another job in another country. Now, sometimes these assignments can become permanent if they like you. So it's like an intern going to a company and people like his work, and then he's offered a permanent position. I know so many people of my colleagues who moved from London to Hong Kong and they were offered that permanent position. So that is option number three. Take a short-term assignment to taste a job, to understand the country, and maybe you want to stay there forever. So that is option three. And the last option is job enrichment. What does that mean? Now, job enrichment is something very unique where you accept more responsibility in the role already you're doing. See, remember, early on, I mentioned to you that you don't really have to quit your job. You can find new challenges, new freshness in the job you're doing. And if you're doing your job in the second year in half the time, which is your 10 hours, job is complete in 5 hours, you have a good 5 hours left. Now, this 5 hours you can do, accept more responsibilities, and you can take on new assignments and deliver more. And that is called job enrichment. I did that time and again. There were so many projects I delivered which was not part of my job. But because of those projects, I got visible in other departments. And then I got offered position in other departments in the same kind of company. Well, yes, my company was pretty big. I was working for a multinational which has about 250,000 people. There were like 100 departments, so I could move from one department to another. So that is called visibility. And you can also accept assignment is other external opportunities like being a part of association, you know, going to conferences. So these are things which can elevate and enrich your job, because now in year three, you actually have become an expert. Remember, first year is for learning, second year is for contributing, and in third year, you have become an expert and you can do more. So that is my sharing for you today. This is when you should change a job. You know, there's no right magic number, but if you want to keep a magic number in your head, keep 3 years in your head. And remember that job changes do not need to be always external. You have four options. And I repeat these four options for you. Option number one, move externally. Option number two, move internally. Option number three, accept a short-term assignment in another country, another function. And option number four, enrich your job by taking on new assignments, new responsibilities, new challenges. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you found this work useful, please go ahead and share it with someone who can benefit from it. Remember this, my friends. This is not something you learn in school. It took me 25 years of career journeys, learning from mentors and coaches to find and distill these techniques. And now I want more and more people to benefit from it. So it will really mean the world to me if you can hit that subscribe button, put a comment, and share it with someone who can use it. Thank you.